is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. Who to start? Who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, look, fires over the middle, caught, left, right, left, touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek. Guru Brian Lowe.
And welcome into week three of the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com radio. I'm Brian Lowe, coming your way every Thursday afternoon, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern, and of course available on a podcast later on. So welcome into the show, week three, and boy oh boy do we have storylines aplenty, as we always seem to do here on the Fantasy Lowdown, running the gamut. Often at the quarterback position, but some running back stories as well. We've got a lot to get to over this hour. We certainly want to hear from you, as we always do. Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. You send an email over the next, 55 minutes or so. It's going to appear right on a computer screen that's right in front of me, and I'm going to talk about it. You ask me questions about who you think you should start or sit, or just give me your lineup and say, hey, any thoughts, whatever it is, you let me know. I'll tell you what I think. I'm no expert, but as you heard in that open, I'm the resident fantasy geek, guru. Anyways, it looks like, also, I didn't even notice this until I looked right now. You can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's accurate, Kevin. That's for us, too. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. So it's not just a phone number anymore. It's a hotline, and it's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Thanks to Ace for helping us out with that. Webradio at Patriots.com is also probably the best way to reach us as well. Let's start at the quarterback position and what is going on in Philadelphia. Michael Vick, we talked about quite a bit last week. I looked at him as a big-time fantasy performer going into Week 2 with the Eagles playing the Lions, and I'm not trying to take credit. I just thought it was such an easy pick. Michael Vick, who looked really good in Week 1. How about that? And how about that Philadelphia Daily News headline the other day? Top dog. Quite a cover. Quite a cover. So the Eagles, you know, Kevin Cobb is groomed as the starting quarterback. We know the story. They trade Donovan McNabb. He starts in week one, has a concussion by the end of the first half. Michael Vick comes in, does really well. He's announced as a starter last week against Detroit. But even he said, you know, this is Kevin Cobb's team. Cobb will be back. No problem. I understand. I think I've proven something, but I understand. I'm going to be on the bench. Andy Reid basically agrees as well. And then out of nowhere on Tuesday afternoon, Andy Reid says, not so much. Cobb might be healthy, but Vick is our guy. Reid was gushing over Michael Vick, and I don't disagree with him as far as fantasy football goes. I really, really don't. I'm not sold on the fact that Michael Vick is going to be their quarterback for the entire year, but as long as he is, I think he's a pretty good fantasy option, and I think he will be for many weeks to come. This week at Jacksonville, listen, I think he's going to have a good performance. The Jaguars come into this game with the 29th ranked overall defense, and in terms of their passing, in terms of their pass defense, they're 29th in the league. Run defense, 20th. I think this is another good matchup. Yeah, on the road again for Michael Vick, but absolutely it's a good matchup for Michael Vick, and as long as he's going to be in the lineup, yeah, there might be some matchups where we don't like it, but as long as he's in the lineup, I think he's going to be a pretty good fantasy option. We've got other quarterback situations to get to, but as far as running back, the first one that stands out is San Diego. Ryan Matthews, who I was extremely high on coming into the season, drafted him, I believe, with a wraparound pick. I think I had the last pick in one of my drafts. Drafted him coming around the first pick of the second round, and was very high on him, but had a disappointing week one, gets hurt in week two, and barely plays after getting injured. And the latest news on him, not good as far as this week goes. According to NFL Network, the Chargers are operating under the assumption that Ryan Matthews, with a high ankle sprain, will be unable to go in his normal role, if at all. It sounds like if he hasn't officially been ruled out yet, he's going to be ruled out. What does that mean? Mike Tolbert is expected to get the start in place of Ryan Matthews. And Mike Tolbert becomes a must-start in fantasy, as far as I'm concerned. He's a must-start at Seattle this week. And Seattle's run defense, been okay so far this season, but I'll tell you what, Mike Tolbert becomes almost a must start in fantasy. Webradio at patriots.com is how to reach us. Also, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. And we have our very first caller on the new Ace Ticket Hotline as far as the fantasy lowdown is concerned. And that's Jonathan. Welcome in, Jonathan. No go on Jonathan. How about that for the day?
He got rid of us.
How about that? We have a brand new spiffy Ace Ticket Hotline. Jonathan is gracious enough to call us.
He wasn't even on hold for like 2 minutes, and he got
I mean, early release there. Wow, that doesn't bode well, Kevin. I'm worried about the Ace Ticket Hotline. Got to be honest, I'm a little worried about the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Could be the curse of the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Boy, oh boy! You know, it's not. You know, we're very much email driven here at Patriots.com Radio. It's nice to get a caller every now and then. So if we decided to have the Ace Ticket Web radio email inbox, and that failed us, I'd be really worried. But I think we're going to get through this, Kevin. I think we're going to get through this. Anyways, like I said, we're email-driven, and we've got several emails already in the inbox. And the first one, I'm going to go on a limb right now and say this is our most important one today. And why is that? Kevin knows the answer, but why is that? Because Jeremy, one of our emailers every single week, was gracious enough to buy us lunch today. A wonderful lunch from Davio's here at Patriot Place. Jeremy, can't thank you enough. How do I repay you? I'll probably give you bad fantasy advice, let's be honest. But no, I'll try to give you some good fantasy advice as you email in. All right, he says, hi, Brian. Hope you enjoyed your lunch. Oh, I did. I appreciated your help last season. I'm not going to lie and say that I always took your advice. In fact, occasionally, I listened to your arguments and went in other directions because I respectfully disagreed with your rationale. Hey, that's fair. It's fair. I'm not right all the time. Don't pretend to be. That's a fair way to put it, Jeremy. He continues, but what I found most helpful was listening to you review other emails, and it occasionally made me think of ideas I would have never thought of on my own. Last week, you were reviewing my wide receivers, and you correctly joked that I had a poor group of receivers and that I'd better have Drew Brees, Chris Johnson, Adrian Peterson, etc. for the rest of my team. Well, you were close. I drafted Aaron Rodgers, Michael Turner, plus Jason Snelling, Arian Foster, JerMichael Finley, Neil Rackers, and Pittsburgh's defense as my other starters in my 12-team family league. I also have Knowshon Moreno, Kyle Orton, and Chris Cooley waiting on the bench. Not a bad team there, Jeremy. This week I have a few questions, again, with mostly my horrible wide receiver core. I picked up Vincent Jackson over the weekend, hoping he would be signed by the Wednesday 4 p.m. deadline, but dropped him after he wasn't traded yesterday. All right, I can play three wide receivers. Remember, it's not a point-per-reception league. Jeremy says, I'm going with Steve Smith from Carolina. While he had a nice rapport with Matt Moore, Moore was just plain bad, so I can't believe that Clawson will be any worse. They may limit his throws, but when he does throw it, it will be specifically to get the ball in Smith's hands. He's already being double-teamed as it is, so I don't think there will be a big drop-off. Yeah, Jeremy, I'm not super high on Steve Smith, but they're playing Cincinnati. He still brings it week to week. I have no problem with you starting Steve Smith from Carolina. No problem at all. Number two, I'm going with Malcolm Floyd because he continues to have a huge number of targets on a good team, and the law of averages says he's going to have fantasy value. There's no doubt about it. Looking at targets is very important. Now, if you look at targets for a guy who is on a good offense with a good quarterback, as Malcolm Floyd is, if those targets are low, if those targets are high but the receptions are low, that's probably not going to be a trend. As long as a good quarterback is throwing in the direction of a wide receiver, that bodes well that eventually, like you said, the law of averages will say he will catch more of them. Now, if it's a bad quarterback throwing to a wide receiver and that wide receiver has a lot of targets, that probably won't change. It's just that he'll probably continue to not catch a lot of passes because the accuracy won't be there. I like your reasoning on Malcolm Floyd and San Diego at Seattle. I think it's a good matchup for the San Diego offensive players. I really do. So Malcolm Floyd definitely in the mix there. Now, number three, do I go with Johnny Knox versus Green Bay or Mike Williams of Tampa Bay versus Pittsburgh? I'm leaning toward Knox given Pittsburgh's defense. No doubt about it. Go with Johnny Knox. The ball is in Jay Cutler's hands. They pass the ball, and Johnny Knox is one of the top targets, if not the top target. And yeah, Green Bay is a good team, and Green Bay has a pretty good defense and a pretty good pass defense. But Mike Williams, a rookie, going against that Pittsburgh secondary this week, and plus, you look at the quarterbacks, Jay Cutler versus Josh Freeman. I'm definitely going Johnny Knox in that situation there, Jeremy. So Steve Smith, Malcolm Floyd, Johnny Knox, especially considering the rest of your roster, that's not a bad trio of wide receivers this week. I think you can get by with that. Finally, Jeremy asks, at tight end, do I go with JerMichael Finley at Chicago or Chris Cooley at St. Louis? At first glance, this is a no-brainer, but upon further review, Cooley is one of the few options for McNabb and may have more targets. It's a very interesting question and a very compelling argument you make there. Hard to ever sit JerMichael Finley. I mean, he's now a top five tight end pretty much every week. Good quarterback throwing in the ball, good overall offense. But like you said with Chris Cooley, going against St. Louis is kind of appealing. And actually, I look at Greg Rosenthal from rotoworld.com, who has a great column every week, goal line stand with rankings. We get to that. We try to get to that every so often here on the Fantasy Lowdown. And he actually has JerMichael Finley ranked third this week. Chris Cooley ranked sixth. So really not a huge gap there. I don't think you're going to see Chris Cooley ranked that high every week. Very good tight end, but ahead of Jason Witten, ahead of Brent Celek, ahead of Tony Gonzalez, Kellen Winslow this week, Dustin Keller. Compelling argument there to be made for Chris Cooley. I'd still lean toward JerMichael Finley, because if JerMichael Finley goes off and has a huge game on your bench, you won't be happy. You won't be happy. And I tend to go conservative and something like that, especially tight end. You just don't know week to week. But I'm going to go, I'd go Finley if I were you. That's my opinion. Jeremy, thanks again for lunch, and thanks again for emailing in. Hope we gave you a little bit of info there, something that'll help you out this week. More emails to get to, webradio@patriots.com. We've got Mick from Ireland checking in. Hey, B-Lo. Spells it B-E-L-O-W, by the way. But, hey, that's fair enough. Hey, B-Lo, it's Mick from Ireland. I'm in your fantasy league on PFW in progress. Thanks for checking in, Mick. We're going to get to that. We will get to that. With two games gone and two losses suffered, I just want to know, is my team as bad as I think? It's only my second year playing fantasy football, so here is my team. Well, listen, two games down, you know, listen, there are some bad NFL teams, or there are some decent NFL teams who are 0-2 right now, the Cowboys, the Vikings. Easy to feel like, all hell is breaking loose, but hang in there. Let's quickly look at Mick's team. Quarterback, Breeze and Flacco. You're all set there. Drew Breeze is great, and I actually think Joe Flacco is going to have a big bounce-back game this week after a terrible start. Running back, Steven Jackson, Jonathan Stewart, Darren McFadden, and Thomas Jones. You're in pretty good shape. With Steven Jackson, you always have to worry about the injury concern, but Darren McFadden, really strong game last week. I thought he would, and he's coming around a little bit on that team. Jonathan Stewart, some injury concerns, but, you know, he's pretty productive. And Thomas Jones is your fourth running back, isn't bad. Wide receivers, Donald Driver, Steve Breston, Anquan Boldin, Braylon Edwards, Chris Chambers. Certainly an area you could improve on. Driver's pretty consistent. He'll be all right. But Breston, so-so right now because of the quarterback situation. Anquan Boldin, slow start because that whole offense hasn't gotten on track. But I think he's going to come around this week like Flacco. Braylon Edwards, I mean, we could get into that for a whole hour. It doesn't even have much to do with fantasy. But listen, don't ever expect anything close to what Braylon Edwards gave you last week. He could be on the outs in New York. I mean, I honestly wouldn't be stunned if they end up at some point after Santonio Holmes gets back cutting him. I'm serious there. Tight end Jeremy Shockey, Chris Cooley. Neither one is an elite every week guy, but between the two of them playing the matchups, I think you might be able to have some success. You could upgrade there a little bit, but you know, Cooley, starting Cooley every week is not going to kill you. And then John Casey, a kicker, fine. Defense, Miami and Green Bay. You know, Green Bay is pretty good. Green Bay's got a pretty good defense. Miami is an underrated defense to me, an undervalued defense. I think you can get by with those two. So Mick, I don't think you're going to be 0-2 or 0-4 for too long. You got Breeze. You got Steven Jackson, you got Driver, you got Chris Cooley. Listen, you can make some upgrades, but hang in there. I think you're going to be all right. Definitely hang in there. But I hope when I play you, I can still beat you there. All right, we are going to try the Ace Ticket Hotline again, Kevin, aren't we? We're going to try the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jonathan is on again. Hopefully that bad connection you had, Jonathan, is out the window. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, there we go, Jonathan. How you doing today? What do you got for us?
Yeah, man, I'm from Miami. I just wanted to tell you later on see how my lineup for the fantasy football.
Okay.
But get your thoughts on that? I got Brady as my quarterback, Spiller. I got Bradshaw as my running back. I got Moss, Golden, Garcon, and Kelly as my tight end. And I know I got a lot of confidence on my Patriot defense, so I got them as my defense, too.
Well, here, while we got you on the horn, you know, you said that pretty fast. Let's just go position by position. Quarterback, you got Brady, and who else?
And Spiller. And I'm starting Brady.
And who was the other guy?
I got Spiller and Bradshaw as my running back.
Okay, so
Spiller's projected for us. He's projected for a lot of yards.
Oh, you said Spiller.
Yeah, Spiller.
Okay, so quarterback, you're fine. You got Tom Brady. The only thing you got to make sure of is that you have a backup in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, Tom Brady has a bye. You got to make sure you have a good backup. And if you don't have a backup on your roster right now, you're going to want to look at free agent.
I have Joe Flacco.
Oh, you have Joe Flacco. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, just make sure, take a look at who Joe Flacco is playing in Week 5. I don't have that in front of me. Week 5 is when the Patriots have a bye. Hopefully he's got a good matchup for you. All right, running back. You said you got Spiller and Bradshaw, and who else?
And Bradshaw.
Okay.
And Jacobs. I want to get rid of him, though.
Well, you want to get rid of him. So do the Giants. So, listen, Ahmad Bradshaw is pretty good. You're going to be okay with Ahmad Bradshaw.
I wouldn't mind him coming to the Patriots, though.
If Bradshaw came to the Patriots, no, you don't want Bradshaw coming to the Patriots. No, from a fantasy standpoint, you don't. If Ahmad Bradshaw came to the Patriots, I don't see the Patriots bringing in a guy like him and saying, hey, you are our number one running back. You're going to get all the carries. I think he's in a better situation fantasy-wise with the Giants. Now, C.J. Spiller, who you have, that's a question mark to me because Chan Gailey this week has already come out and said, you know, Marshawn Lynch is going to get his share of carries. It looks like between Lynch, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, it's going to be difficult week to week to sort out who is going to get the carries, who's going to get the yards, who's going to get the scores. I thought going into the year that C.J. Spiller would be the guy. You draft him early in the first round, but not so fast on him, not so fast. Tell me who you have again at wide receiver.
At wide receiver, I got Moss, Baldwin, and Garcon. But I'm thinking about, you know, switching Garcon with Austin Collie.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, if you can get Austin Collie, that would be good. Listen, Moss is going to be fine. Moss
well,
is going to be...
I have him on my bench, though.
You have Moss
have
on your bench?
Collie on my bench. Austin Collie on my bench.
Oh, you have Austin Collie on your bench. Okay, well, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you're probably going to want to... On most weeks, I think you're better off starting Austin Collie instead of Pierre Garcon. And Garcon also has a hamstring injury right now. Collie should be the guy. Collie should be the guy. And as far as Anquan Boldin, disappointing so far, but... You know, I think he's going to round into shape. I think Anquan Boldin, you know, once Joe Flacco gets going a little bit, and I really think that's going to happen this week, I think you're going to be in good shape there.
All right. What about Keller?
I'm sorry?
What about Keller? Dustin Keller is my tight end.
Oh, Dustin Keller is your tight end. Well, he's not going to play the Patriots every week, so he won't have the kind of stats he had last week. But, you know, he's not an elite wide receiver. He's not an elite tight end just yet. But I don't think there's any question that Jets offense, they want to get him the ball. And right now, you know, Braylon Edwards is, you know, he's an iffy guy right now. They don't have Santonio Holmes. I certainly think in the short term, Dustin Keller is going to be a pretty productive fantasy tight end for you.
All right.
I think you're in decent shape. I think you're in decent shape. I like the analysis. And did you say you have Patriots defense?
Patriots defense. I can't let go of my Patriots defense, man. I'm in love with the Patriots. I'm a Patriots fan. All the way, baby. And I'm from Miami.
Good loyal fan, but don't forget, much like with Brady, in 2 weeks, make sure you look at that waiver wire. See which defense might have a good matchup in Week 5.
No, I understand that.
All right. Hey, Jonathan, thanks a lot for calling us on the Ace Ticket Hotline. We appreciate it. 508-543-7482 is the time to is the way to reach us. Webradio at patriots.com as well. A lot more to get to. We have a bunch of emails to get to, and we're going to get to them. A quick break coming up right now here on the Fantasy Lowdown.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
Wow. You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football.
Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Welcome back into the Fantasy Lowdown on this Thursday, week three of the NFL season. Real quickly, we just want to talk about the league that we have going on here, PFW League that I am involved in, the Lowdown, and I got my first win of the season. I dropped my week one matchup, but got a win this week against Jays, UK Patriots, 90-83, and this was despite having Brett Favre in my lineup. How about that? Pretty weak at quarterback. I have Brett Favre in my lineup, and he got me 1 point. But fortunately, I got huge performances from DeSean Jackson and Kevin Walter. Those were my big point scorers for the week. And then, you know, some pretty solid performances from a few other guys. You know, Johnny Knox got me a few points, Fred Jackson as well. And, you know, it wasn't bad. And, you know, just had the edge. Had the edge this week. And then during the week, a couple days ago, actually on Monday, I decided to pick up Kevin Cobb. I actually can't remember who I had as my backup quarterback, but it was not someone who I was comfortable with. I said, you know what, I'm going to pick up Cobb. He was available. I felt like there was a good chance he was going to come back and play for them and start for them. Of course, what has gone on? Kevin Cobb benched for Michael Vick. So it looks like having Kevin Cobb on my team won't do much for me right now, but that's the way it goes. That is the way it goes. Let's see. Back to the actually, before we get back to the inbox, I guess we could consider this fantasy football breaking news. Coach Ken Whisenhunt of the Arizona Cardinals confirmed that Beanie Wells will make his 2010 debut this week, barring a setback. So, in other words, he's day-to-day like everybody else in the world. Wiz cautioned that Wells isn't yet in football shape, so he won't be getting 25 carries against the Raiders. While it's a great sign for Beanie owners getting anxious about their running back number two investment, we'd hold off on using him for one more week. Expect him, Hightower, to lead the backfield in touches on Sunday. Getting this from rotoworld.com via Darren Urban on Twitter. So, if you're a Beanie Wells owner, which I happen to be in two of my leagues, that's not bad news. It looks like, you know, he's going to be back. And if he, in fact, Ken Whisenhunt doing a lot of people a big favor by saying he will be back, but limited. So, you know, it's almost like he's reaching out to fantasy football owners. Hey, I'm throwing you a bone here. He's going to play, but he probably won't play much. So you might not want to start him. But it seems like in week four might be the week that Beanie Wells will finally be able to make an impact. But you just wonder, if Tim Hightower has another big game like he had last week and Beanie Wells is ready to go, I mean, you know, at best you got to figure they'll be splitting carries. I don't see Beanie Wells at this point completely taking over the running back role for the Cardinals. It just doesn't always work that way. If Tim Hightower is the hot hand, sorry, Beanie. So that's certainly one that I'll be monitoring, and we'll see what happens there in Arizona. All right, in the email inbox, Paul in London says, hey, Brian, good news in that my, quote, Eric is a homo team, quote, end quote, in the B-low league is third with a record of 2-0. Congratulations there, Paul. Mainly thanks to my Manning, Andre Johnson, Antonio Gates combo. I also recorded wins in five of my other six leagues as well, which is a first for me. So what does that mean? Six wins in seven leagues? That's not bad. Two big numbers. Seven leagues, pretty big, and six wins, not bad. Anyway, on to my start or sit questions. There you go. Round of applause. My starter, abrupt end to that round of applause, though. That's fine. Anyway, on to my start or sit questions for this week from across my teams, a couple of tough ones compared to last week. I need two from Frank Gore, Jamal Charles, and Javid Best. I've started Gore and Charles before and missed out on Best's huge week last week. Do I ride the hot hand with Best or bench one of the others? Well, having Best on your bench last week was obviously a mistake. I mean, I guess easy to say in hindsight that it was a mistake because of how well he did. But to win with Javid Best on the bench is pretty good. But, Frank Gore, Jamal Charles, Javid Best. I think you got to start Frank Gore. Playing Kansas City, at Kansas City, a tough defense, an underrated defense so far this year. But you still, he's definitely in that category of a guy that, you can't bench because, you can't bench just because of the matchup this early in the season. You've got to have him out there. I think Jamal Charles is the guy that you're going to sit, mostly because you know that Frank Gore is the guy for San Fran, and you know that Javid Best is the guy for Detroit. Look at those passing numbers. Unbelievable, the receiving numbers he had. So for no other reason than Jamal Charles is, splits carries, I don't see how you can put Jamal Charles, ahead of Javid Best or Frank Gore this week. I really don't. So I'd go Gore and Best. Needs one from Cadillac Williams going up against Pittsburgh, Donald Brown against Denver, or the McCluster Bomb going up against the Niners and Patrick Willis. Well, that's an interesting one right there because I'm not high on Cadillac Williams for this week. He's had an okay start to the season. Not much yardage, no touchdowns, but not terrible. But that Pittsburgh D, what that Pittsburgh D did to Chris Johnson last week, that should scare you straight. Now, Donald Brown is an interesting one because I'm pretty sure I've seen that Joseph Addai has come up with an injury, and I'm trying to find where that is or exactly what that injury is. But I think Addai is banged up. Yeah, he's got a knee. He's got a knee injury, questionable. So Donald Brown is an intriguing guy this week because certainly if Joseph Addai can't go, Donald Brown definitely becomes a starting worthy guy.
And Addai has not been at practice.
Addai has not been at practice. All right, thanks, Kevin. Addai has not. See, Kevin provides some good analysis here, too. No one should shortchange what KC over here does behind the glass. I think, Dexter McCluster, he's not a guy that you can really feel comfortable starting at this point. Just not huge numbers. He had the punt return in week one, but, I just don't think you can start him. I think Donald Brown is your intriguing guy against Denver this week. Cadillac Williams, if you really need to start him, I guess you never know. You can break one, but I just don't like his matchup against Pittsburgh's D. Dez Bryant or Hakeem Nicks at wide receiver. Dez Bryant also questionable with rib injuries. Questionable not officially, but he's bounced around or he's come up with a bit of an injury problem. Hakeem Nicks, obviously that huge week one, and he's definitely in the mix. The Giants' passing game, though, it's just been hard to decipher week to week. Steve Smith, Hakeem Nicks, Mario Manningham, they're home against Tennessee. I can see a big week for Hakeem Nicks. I really can. I'd go Hakeem Nicks in that matchup. Dez Bryant, rookie, has been productive. Don't get me wrong. He's been productive in Dallas. Dallas at Houston, not a bad matchup, but I'll go Hakeem Nicks. Now, here's a good one. Cadillac Williams or Sammy Morris? Cadillac Williams or Sammy Morris? We haven't yet gotten into the whole Kevin Fox situation and how that might impact the Patriots from a fantasy standpoint, but it's not a bad situation to ask to talk about because Fred Taylor also is banged up a little bit. He's got injury issues and no real information, no hard information out of the Patriots, but he didn't play much last week after the first quarter. So you wonder if this could be a week where Sammy Morris gets more of an opportunity against his former team, the Buffalo Bills. I don't like Cadillac Williams this week. I can't really endorse liking Sammy Morris from a fantasy standpoint. I'd probably give the edge there to Cadillac just because he is their guy.
Keep an eye on him because he is listed on the injury report as well.
That's right. Cadillac also coming up. I'll tell you what, you look at the running back listing, and there's a lot of guys. Cadillac Williams with a hamstring injury. Certainly, if Cadillac is out or questionable, Sammy Morris, you could take a flyer on him, but even though I don't like Cadillac Williams this week and he's playing Pittsburgh.
Playing Pittsburgh. That's
just because here's the thing from fantasy standpoint. You don't care about yards per carry. If he's going to get the rock and doesn't have a ton of yardage, but has reasonable yardage and somehow gets into the end zone, that's fine. he might have a 2.5 yards per carry average. That doesn't matter. If he's getting the rock, you're fine. Sammy Morris, not as reliable this week. Dustin Keller or the Gronk? I can't see starting the Gronk over Dustin Keller. Keller against Miami might not be as good a matchup for him as the Patriots one was last week. But, you know, if you look at rankings with Rob Gronkowski, you know, he's really only been thrown at two or three times through the first two games. You know, mildly disappointing based on the production he had in the preseason. Aaron Hernandez clearly has gotten the ball thrown his way more often. No way you can start the Gronk over Dustin Keller. So it's definitely Keller there. And then Braylon Edwards or Julian Edelman. Boy, that's another interesting one because Braylon Edwards is going to play for the Jets. That's what they've said. He's not going to start. But what does that mean? I mean, not starting in the NFL just means you're not out there for whatever the game plan has as the first play of the game. Julian Edelman hasn't done much. Missed the first week and really was only thrown to a couple of times.
One catch for 6 yards.
Yeah, one. Yeah, and even for targets. I mean, it wasn't like he was targeted a handful more than that. So, you know, you're probably going to want to go Edwards. You know, believe it or not, as much of a knucklehead as he is, he might actually be the safer bet over Julian Edelman. And it's not like the Patriots need to force the ball into Julian Edelman. You know, he might get a few receptions this week. And, you know, even last year as a rookie, he scored a couple times. But you're probably going to want to have to go Braylon Edwards. Anyways, Paul says, thanks as always. Refreshing to have Kevin and Lindsay contributing to the show and giving other viewpoints as well. There you go, Kevin. Give yourself a round of applause there, huh? Lindsay was with us the first couple weeks. We'll probably have her back again. Probably not this week, though, but definitely enjoyed her contributions last week as well. So, Paul, thank you very much for emailing in. All right, Todd. What does Todd have to say? Todd in Jacksonville, Florida says, B-Lo, so I have a quandary at my quarterback position. I have Eli Manning and Michael Vick. They both have the same bye week, week 8, so I'm unsure of what to do. A place that might be expendable for me is at running back where I have 5 guys and none of them have the same bye week. My running backs are Frank Gore, Javid Best, Brandon Jackson, Cadillac Williams, and Beanie Wells. I'm thinking about dropping Wells or Williams in favor of picking up Roethlisberger, who will be back and playing by the time Eli and Vick have their bye. Also, I might be able to trade one in the near future for a better running back than I let go. What do you think? All right, you know, that is a quandary, but here's what I would say. I'm not sold that Michael Vick is going to be with the Eagles long-term this year. He'll be with the Eagles, but he's going to be the starting quarterback. Week 8 is still 6 weeks away. I wouldn't make any rash decisions right now. I'd stick with those two quarterbacks. Have those two quarterbacks on the roster, play the matchups the next few weeks, and then play by ear come week 5, week 6, when you're still not desperate to figure out what to do in week 8, but you've had a little bit of a chance to get a feel for what's going on with those two quarterbacks, and more importantly, for those running backs. Frank Gore, listen, if you can get great value for Frank Gore, if you can trade him for, you know, really upgrade somewhere else, sure, but you know, I'm not going to suggest that. Javid Best is a keeper. I'd say Brandon Jackson isn't a bad guy to see if you can get good value in trade because, you know, good running back, but what if they trade for Marshawn Lynch or what if he proves to not really be a top-end guy? Cadillac Williams, you know, I mean, if you're going to cut a guy between Williams and Beanie Wells, I'd cut Cadillac Williams because I think Beanie Wells, you know, if we start getting some signs here over the next couple weeks that he's going to be all right, then, you know, he's a guy you're going to want. But, you know, I wouldn't go out of my way to pick up Roethlisberger just because of that bye week. I really wouldn't. I think come week 6 or 7, you might find that there's a guy in your roster that would be an easier cut, and you can find someone who in week 8 itself has a good matchup. That's what I would do there. And Todd says Beanie's been dealing with an injury, and when he's back, he'll be splitting time with Hightower. Williams is notoriously injury-prone and hasn't done much this season either, and is losing touches to Graham and Huggins when he's back. Would you drop Wells or Williams, and why or why not? If I go after Roethlisberger, I need to do it now, as I don't think he will last on the waiver wire much longer. Thanks. All right, well, Todd, like I said, I just don't think you need to... I would not suggest going after Roethlisberger. You know, I really wouldn't. I would suggest if you're going to drop Wells or Williams, I'd drop Williams. Like I said, and like you said as well, he's losing carries. I just think Wells, eventually, if he comes back to better health, he will have a role, a more prominent role, on the Cardinals. So I'm not huge on going after Roethlisberger right now. I'm also not huge on really getting rid of those running backs. I think you have a couple weeks here now to see how it all plays out. But anyways, Todd, thank you for emailing in. You're listening to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com radio, web radio at Patriots.com, and also the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543 7482. Joining us now, the first time in 2010, but you'll recognize him by his accent. We got Nick. Nick, you turned on there. Just hit that button. Not sure about that.
Am I on now? There we go.
Now you are. See that red light?
Yep, sweet.
See that red light? That red light's on. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Not bad, Nick. Not bad,
doing
Nick.
Good.
Always enjoy getting your perspective just because I think a lot of people like to hear the voice and the accent. I really do.
Gile. It must be Italian.
I really do. Now, Nick and I are in the same league, another league involving Patriots people here. Actually, Kevin is as well. And, I referenced the PFW league that we had earlier. But listen, last week, Lindsay gave me the business, and deservedly so, after she trounced me in week one.
Now,
I didn't play against Nick or Kevin in week two, but I am 0-2.
0-2.
I am 0-2.
You did pick 12th in the draft out of 12 people, so we'll cut you a break there. But still, you need to know who to draft. You need to know who to pick, and apparently you just have no idea because you're in last place right now.
Don't worry, you were in last place
in the league last year.
I'm 0-2 as well.
Last place in what league last year?
I don't know. The league that you were in with Dvorkin.
No. Dvorkin was in last place by a mile.
And I lost to him this week.
Wow.
It was
pretty bad.
That speaks up.
That was the barn burner. I think it was like a 56 to 55 barn burner of a matchup right there.
Well, as you said, Nick, I did pick 12th, and I took Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Matthews as my 12 and 13. One of them is working out really well for me. One of them not so much. Ryan Matthews, we talked about it earlier, looks like he's been ruled out. Mike Tolbert. Now, I did pick up Mike Tolbert today, actually. Picked up Mike Tolbert, cut a defense. I don't remember. I think it was the Dolphins defense. Didn't want to cut the Dolphins defense, but I needed to get Mike Tolbert on my team. Why? Here are my top four running backs.
Because you don't have anybody.
You have nobody
right now.
Here are my top four running backs. Ryan Matthews, Clinton Portis, Beanie Wells, CJ Spiller. None of them are very usable this week.
No.
They all have an issue. I also have Marshawn Lynch, who I picked up. But, I mean, I might be going into this week with Marshawn Lynch and Mike Tolbert.
That is not good for your situation.
Not ideal,
and,
Nick.
No, not good at all. I went with Brady with my
I didn't say
pick.
Not good. Not ideal.
Not ideal. But who do you got? Who do you got coming up against?
I worry about myself.
You worry about yourself.
I worry about my own
team.
I
think I might have the number one team in the league I'm matching up against this week. And it's ironic because the team I am matching up against in our league, is the only team that was not picked by a person. It was auto picked. Of course, it's Ashley Ryder's team. But she has quite a team that she assembled, or the actual computer assembled for her.
You never know sometimes.
I mean, yeah, exactly. You never know. And I was always a proponent that, you know, if I had to say there are three things you should do fantasy-wise, the number one thing you need to do right is the draft. That is the number one most important thing.
What else is there?
After that, you need free agents, free agent acquisitions, obviously huge. And number three is knowing who to sit. Knowing who to start week to week, I think that is huge fantasy-wise. You need to know who to start.
And that's why people like Marcus in D.C. come to the Fantasy Lowdown. Here's what Marcus has to say, and we'll get Nick's opinion as well. What up, B-Low? When is Triple Y coming back on the show? Triple Y, of course, would be Lindsay. She's got two Ys in her first name. Figure that one out. Figure that one out if you can. Lindsay with two Ys and then another Y in her last name, Petruni.
Yeah.
So. There you go. Anyways, we'll get Triple Y back on the show. Figured we'd give Nick an opportunity.
I'm the
zero
not
y.
Only am I the future champion of our league, but I'm also the commish. So you
but
are
I
in
was
the presence
a major
of,
bobblehead.
You are in the presence of greatness right now.
We're in the presence of something. We are in the presence of something.
Total bobblehead.
Marcus says, anyway, I have only one semi-predicament. I'm going with three running backs, Chris Johnson, Darren McFadden, Rashard Mendenhall as a flex this week, and two wide receivers. My first start is a lock in DeSean Jackson, but I'm wavering on either Percy Harvin or Steve Smith of the Giants. In our league, you get 1 point per 10 return yards, and it's a point per reception league. What do you think? I'm leaning toward Harvin. I'll tell you what, we were talking about injuries a little while ago. Percy Harvin's in that mix as well. He's got that noggin that really, just not working out well for him. And I'll tell you what, Brett Favre isn't connecting well with anyone. I'd lean towards Steve Smith there. What do you think, Nick?
I also have Percy Harvin on one of my many fantasy teams, and he's a tough call this year because week one he looked miserable against the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
He banged up his hip, I think, in that game. He was questionable all last week. One of my leagues, I started him last week. One of my leagues, I sat him. The league I started him, I mean, it looked like it was a good call starting him last week because the first drive he had five receptions, 32 yards against Miami. Then he kind of faded out after that.
Mm-hmm.
So he only ended up getting 5 points, 6 points for me last week because, as well, we are in a league that return yards count.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think I go with Steve Smith. He's questionable. Percy Harvin is, and with Brett Favre playing the way he is, who knows what you're going to get out of the Minnesota Vikings plays week to week.
Yeah, I think Steve Smith is going to get going soon. And like I said earlier, between Hakeem Nicks, Mario Manningham, Steve Smith, you just might not know week to week. But, you know, I think Steve Smith's going to get his chances. I just don't see this as a good week to get on the Percy Harvin train. And
not
listen,
yet. Not yet. Once he gets healthy, maybe, I mean, he's almost a definite start, I think, once he gets healthy, especially if you're in those leagues with the return yard.
Get rid of him. Don't get rid of him. And listen, Minnesota hosting Detroit this week, you can't rule out that this is the week that they get that passing game going. But I think the safer pick there is Steve Smith at home against Tennessee. Thank you very much, Marcus. Next one here we got is Jeremy. Who should I start? Mercedes Lewis for Philadelphia, for Jacksonville against Philadelphia, or Vernon Davis of San Fran against KC? Now, I'm not in favor of benching Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis is elite, and going up against Kansas City
but
is pretty good.
But you are very high on Mercedes Lewis this
I am
week.
Very high on Mercedes Lewis. And listen, he's not a guy that you're going to think about as an elite fantasy tight end every week. Jacksonville going up against Philadelphia this week. Mercedes Lewis had 2 touchdowns in week 1. They're going to him. He's receiving the 3rd most targets for that team. I think he has the third most receptions for that team behind their 2 top wide receivers, Thomas and Sims Walker. I like Lewis very much. I'm not going to endorse starting him over Vernon Davis this week, but I'm very high on Mercedes Lewis. If you need a bye week replacement for anyone coming up, and don't forget bye week start next week, or if you have a tight end who's been a disappointment, grab Mercedes Lewis. I think Mercedes Lewis is going to help you out at some point. What do you think?
Quality tight end out of UCLA, Mercedes Lewis is, but it's tough to sit Vernon Davis. I had him on my team last year. I mean, 13 touchdowns he's projected this year. I don't see why you wouldn't start Vernon Davis in that situation, especially going against Kansas City. I know they're 2-0, but who knows with that team what they're going to do week to week and that defense. I mean, it looks like they're coming together against Crennel, but who does San Francisco have to throw the ball to? I mean, it's Crabtree and
Morgan.
It's Vernon Davis.
Yeah,
Morgan. But obviously, I think the top target on that team right now is Vernon Davis, so I
no
think
question.
You have to start him.
And then Jeremy has another quick one, Dwayne Bowe or Derek Mason. Let me just give you this update on Mason. With a knee injury, he returned to the practice field Thursday, but it doesn't sound like there's a lot of progress there. Came out for the start of practice, but disappeared when position drills started. Mason remains likely to play against the Browns, but won't be a strong fantasy option. I think Dwayne Bowe, you know, Kansas City this week, they've got, why am I drawing a blank? Kansas City, San Francisco, like we just said, with Vernon Davis. You know, I don't think he's a great play, but I don't think Derek Mason, I don't think this is a good week to start Derek Mason.
Yeah, that's pretty much a toss-up. Dwayne Bowe, Derek Mason, I don't know what they've done this year, to be honest. Yeah, any ideas stats-wise what those two guys have done before?
Derek, the Baltimore offense has done very little.
Yeah,
actually, neither offense.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Castle's numbers are terrible.
Matt Castle, I think, has the worst quarterback rating in the last, like, 20 years for a 2-0 team.
Right.
I think I heard that stat.
Flacco has thrown 1 touchdown pass, and I think it may have been to Mason. I don't remember that for sure. But I don't think Bowe hasn't done much. Castle hasn't done much at all.
And I think Baltimore has got a pretty easy opponent coming up this week in
Cleveland.
So I'd go with Mason in that situation.
Okay, just monitor the injury situation. That's the only thing. Okay, we got a little more time here on the Fantasy Lowdown Web Radio at Patriots.com. Still some time to get to us. Mike from Champaign, Illinois says, which Patriot tight end will have the better game this weekend? Rob, G-Force, Gronkowski, Algie, the Afterthought, Crumpler, or Aaron, Mike didn't give him a nickname, Hernandez.
Hernandez.
There's really no doubt about it. It's Hernandez based on what we've seen through the first 2 weeks. Algie Crumpler is a great football player. He's a very good football player, but there's a reason he's an afterthought fantasy-wise. He's not going to be catching passes for this team, and you kind of need to have passes thrown your way. Rob Gronkowski, you know, I'm not ruling him out at some point, and the thing with Gronkowski is whatever week it is that he ends up being a huge, getting some huge numbers will probably come as a surprise. But if you're going to start one Patriot tight end, you can't do anything other than start Aaron Hernandez. You can't.
Aaron Hernandez is going to get more targets throughout the game going down the field. Regardless of the Patriots' field position, He is a potential target for Tom Brady. I think Gronkowski is more of a target once you get into the red zone. So that's where you'll make Gronkowski might make up points on Hernandez. But I think Hernandez is more of the go-to guy right now. So you kind of have to go with him. And yeah, he might not get you the touchdown. And Gronkowski could have, you know, one or two touchdowns inside the red zone. But Hernandez is definitely going to rack up the yards. You saw it last week against the Jets. He had 101.
Yeah, you're right about Gronkowski as more of a red zone threat. But you know, we've only seen that once through two games, and I think Hernandez, the total yards and the chance to break one.
They didn't have too many opportunities in the red zone against the Jets last week.
No, but they were getting there. I mean, they got there early on, and
early on they did. But other than that, they really didn't.
All right, and Mike says I need two wide receivers out of this mess. He lists four. Demaryius Thomas, the rookie for Denver, Mark Clayton, Hines Ward, and Lee Evans. Why don't we get your thoughts first? Demaryius Thomas, Mark Clayton, Hines Ward, Lee Evans, which two?
I'm a big Hines Ward guy. I know he's old. He's a vet. But he always gets the job done. If you're not liking Hines' situation, I know he hasn't put up big numbers. He has Dennis Dixon throwing the ball to him. So, I mean, Pittsburgh's offense might not be.
Yeah, not anymore either.
Yeah.
Charlie Batch, sorry.
So maybe you go Lee Evans. He's the number one in Buffalo. I mean, a rookie's tough to start. Who knows what he's going to do with, Denver's rookie there, Thomas.
Yeah.
So maybe Lee Evans. That's a toss up.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
If I had to pick two, I'd probably go Clayton and Ward. Mark Clayton, that Sam Bradford Mark Clayton connection is becoming the rage all around the NFL. I mean, it really, who knew? Who would have thought? I think, That
college teammates. If I'm not mistaken,
same college. They must have been teammates for a year.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Clayton, definitely.
But I agree on Hines Ward. I think I remember his name came up last week as well. I think he's a reliable guy. I think you're rarely going to get a huge performance, but you're generally going to get some decent numbers. Lee Evans, listen, you could make the argument that coming against the Patriots secondary right now is not bad for any wide receiver, and Lee Evans is pretty good. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, they have such a bad quarterback situation. Lee Evans, you wonder what kind of production Lee Evans could have had in his career if he had a good quarterback at any point. At any point, I mean, Lossman, Edwards,
He's just never been a quarterback up in Buffalo.
Yeah, it's like he's wasting away.
He was a first-round pick. He was highly touted coming out of Wisconsin.
And he's had a very good career, but you wonder if he could have been elite if he had a good quarterback. And then a note as far as Denver goes, and I saw this also on rotoworld.com, that, you know, Denver Post is saying that, there's probably going to be a heavy receiver rotation in Denver. Eddie Royal, Demaryius Thomas, Jabbar Gaffney as well. And Thomas is still a rookie, very little experience, hard to rely on him.
Big target to go to for Orton. Is it Orton over there?
Yeah,
Tebow?
Kyle
Who
Orton.
Knows? Kyle Orton. So it's a big target. He was a Georgia Tech guy. He came out of the triple option offense down there in Georgia Tech. He was basically their biggest big play threat out of the passing game. But once again, he's a rookie. So those situations that they're really tough to judge. I mean, like Gronkowski, he could come out and surprise everybody with a huge week, one or two weeks this year. But week to week, I don't think he's a guy that you want to start.
I agree. Okay, one more email here that we have right now. Gustavo in Porto Alegre, Brazil. I think this is the first time we've heard from Gustavo. Below, help. I have Michael Vick and Matt Schaub. Who should I start? Good problem, right? Yeah, that is a good problem. Those are two of maybe the top seven quarterbacks in fantasy for this coming week. Before we get to his wide receiver question, Michael Vick or Matt Schaub? Nick, you want to take this one first?
I have Matt Schaub on one of my fantasy teams. It's a team in which you can start two QBs. I was one pick away. I have Drew Brees, and I was one pick away from having Drew Brees and Tom Brady on the same team. Instead of taking Tom Brady, he was taking the pick right before I was picking. I took Matt Schaub, which isn't a bad 1-2 combo there either.
Brady Schaub are virtually identical as far as...
Vic is intriguing because he can scramble. He'll get you the rushing yards. He can maybe tack on a rushing touchdown, and he's looked pretty good passing the ball the last couple of weeks. But Matt Schaub is a top five quarterback in this league. You want Schaub starting week to week. I think you start him every week regardless. You wait till his bye week. If you have Vic on the team, you start Vic. Otherwise, I think right now Michael Vick is great trade bait. That's something you could go out, you could get yourself a wide receiver for him, you could get yourself a running back for him. He's great trade bait. Hold on to Schaub, start Schaub. He's a top five quarterback. You can't go wrong with
him. You can't go wrong. I agree. Vic, I'm very high on fantasy-wise. I think he's going to have a big week this week, but you can't bench Schaub. Schaub at home against Dallas this week. All right, Gustavo says, pick three of my wide receivers, and here are the five, Nick. Anquan Boldin, Wes Welker, Malcolm Floyd, Brandon Marshall, and Johnny Knox. I'll tell you what,
those five, that's
pretty good depth. I mean, you don't have one guy who's like, wow, this is a must start every week. But I'll give you some quick analysis on each one. I think Bolden's got a pretty good play this week because we talked about Derek Mason who might be slowed down, but I think Flacco's going to have a huge performance. I think Boldin is going to be his breakout game.
He's definitely due for
one. He's got to be one of your three. Wes Welker, listen, we talked to Wes Welker today, actually, and he said, you know, I'm still not 100%, believe it or not.
But
he's already got three touchdowns this year, and, you know, obviously he catches at least six passes every game. You can't really sit him, and against this Buffalo defense, you're not going to sit him. But, you know, he... Depending on your depth, you're still going to want to keep him in mind. Malcolm Floyd, a very good play this week as well for San Diego. Brandon Marshall, we hadn't gotten to. Keep this in mind. Darrell Revis has been ruled out for the game, Jets and Dolphins on Monday night. Does that mean that Brandon Marshall is a better play? Well, based on what we saw
last week, when Darrell Revis left,
the Jets' cornerback situation tightened up. They played better. So you might not want to start Brandon Marshall. And then you got Johnny Knox, who, you know, I think for Chicago this week, I think he's a pretty good guy to have in your lineup going against Green Bay at home. But I would probably have to say Boldin, Welker, and Floyd jump out at me as the three to start among the five.
I mean, Marshall, I know he's a big play threat, but he's going against Cromartie, who's a speed guy. I know Marshall's more willing to go over the middle more than most big play wideouts, but I think I'd have to agree. Floyd, you got number one wideout for San Diego right there. Welker, he's going up against the Bills. I think that's all we have to say about that. And then it's like a toss-up. You could take Knox, you could take Marshall, and you could take who's the other guy?
No. It was Boldin, Welker,
Boldin.
Floyd, yeah, Marshall, and
Boldin.
Knox. All right, Gustavo, thank you for emailing in. A couple other quick fantasy notes, just some things that caught my eye when I looked at box scores in the games last week. And we were talking about the quarterback situation. You know, so many quarterback issues around the league, but really the Philadelphia one is the only one that truly has serious fantasy impact because, listen,
You're not gonna go out and get Jimmy Clausen and start him, are you?
Well, it's like if you had Matt Moore, if Matt Moore was someone you're relying on in the first place, you're in trouble.
Jimmy Clausen's
not gonna fix that. Jason Campbell coming into the season, he was intriguing, but if you were relying on Jason Campbell, Bruce Gradkowski's not gonna help you. Trent Edwards, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Sean Hill playing for Detroit, Derek Anderson being terrible, Maxwell. I mean, these guys are not going to help you. Really, Philly's the only one.
A guy that usually is that's kind of a fringe free agency second quarterback player that I usually like to have on my team is David Garrard. He will dink and dunk you to death. And I mean, he doesn't do too much. He's not going to throw costly interceptions that could cost you points fantasy wise. He's not a bad start. I think week one he had about 25, 26 points for me on my bench, of course, because I have Tom Brady. And last week it tacked on another 15 to 20. So I think David Garrard's a good bet. And in most leagues, he's going to be a free agent out there if you are looking for a quarterback.
Yeah, pretty good insight there. Vince Young, let's just talk about Tennessee real quick. Vince Young was at practice this week. He was benched in favor of Kerry Collins the other day, and he said he didn't have the slightest idea why. It looks like Jeff Fisher is sticking with Vince Young, but, you know, that's a touchy situation there. You wonder that he clearly doesn't have a huge hold in that position, and Kerry Collins might not be a terrible...
Kerry Collins came in last week at the end of that game, and,
yeah,
I mean, Tennessee's offense had looked terrible through the first three and a half quarters of that game. Kerry Collins comes in, brings him right down the field, scores a touchdown. You got to think that Jeff Fisher isn't going to be too hesitant to pull the hook on Vince Young if he doesn't.
He hasn't been over the last couple of years, no question about it. And a general fantasy thought, just don't forget, bye weeks begin next week, which means right now, today, tomorrow, Saturday, this is the time to be proactive. Look at who you're going to lose for bye weeks next week and maybe the week after, and go after guys right now who are going to have a good matchup. Because if you wait till next Monday or Tuesday...
Then you're waiting on waivers.
On waivers. That's when teams – be the first person in your league to remember, oh, there's a bye week. Don't wait until everybody's going to be scrambling for the good matchups for week 4 or week 5. Do it now. Do it now. I'm not saying you, Nick, or you, Kevin, because we're in the same league.
Yeah, I don't think I need to, though. I mean, my team's good enough where I think I can survive the bye weeks. I think Bilo, I think
you're recording this, Kevin, right?
Because I think this analysis for you, this is more for you and Kevin, because you guys are really struggling so far this year.
Okay, thanks.
I lost week one, but I bounced back nicely last week.
You better
most points in the league.
You better hope you're more Rex Ryan from last week talking and then having it back up than 2 weeks ago talking and not backing up.
You know, when it comes to fantasy, I like to be like Rex Ryan. There's nothing wrong with
that. Hey, Nick, you know what you're talking about. What am I going to do? You know your stuff. You know your stuff. But we'll see where we are at the end of the year.
We will.
We'll see where we are. Thanks for stopping by the studio. And thank you all for listening in and emailing into the Fantasy Lowdown for Week 3. We want to hear from you. And don't forget, you can email us at webradio@patriots.com anytime during the week. We'll get to it during the 4 to 5 hour Eastern time every Thursday. Of course, available again on the podcast. Thanks to Nick for coming in. Thanks for Kevin. Thanks to Kevin for doing a great job behind the glass. Jonathan calling in and everybody else who emailed in. We'll see you next week on the Fantasy Lowdown. Come on.